We will come to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, please. And in verse 31, Paul says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Do all to the glory of God. The church at Corinth was not without its problems. There was the problem of division, of carnality, of a lack of spirituality. There was the problem of unseemly things happening, even in the observance of the Lord's table. There was the problem of the misuse of tongues. Every chapter, it seems, deals with a particular issue that has arisen and requires sorting. Here in chapter 10, the vexing problem is that of idolatry. Paul gives this strong, forthright exhortation in verse 7. "Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them." Idolatry, he makes it clear, is not to be played with. It is to be parted with in verse 14. "Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry." The presence of idolatry raised the matter of eating meat that had the DI stamp on it, dedicated to the idol. Now, Paul was far from being soft on idolatry, but he did not see a great problem eating such meat, for he looked on the idol as being nothing, being powerless to contaminate the meat. Paul made the point in verse 26 that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And while he himself saw no difficulty in the eating of this meat, he was mindful of the weaker brother who on no account would eat such food. Rather than offend, rather than cause such a one to stumble, Paul waived his right to eat such meat. In this setting, Paul takes the golden opportunity to establish this timeless rule for all of us, be it in the matter of eating or drinking or whatsoever we are doing. Here's the rule: do all to the glory of God, or you will not miss the mark. Your life will not be misspent if this colors and concentrates all that you do. Here is our duty before God. How is God to be glorified? First of all, he is to be glorified uniquely. This word glory, it speaks of something or someone that is worthy of praise or exaltation. Glory is uniquely due to God. In Psalm 29 and those opening verses, the mighty men, the world's rulers, they receive a threefold call to give to the Lord the glory that is due to his name. Psalm 29, verse 1, "Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name." Can't you see the emphasis, the repetition, the requirement of giving glory to the Lord? God is the supreme being. In 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 22, David says, "Wherefore, thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears." And the greatness of the triune God is seen in creation. In Psalm 19 and verse 1, we learn that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. From Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 5, we discover that the Lord is the God of the whole earth. The God of the whole earth shall he be called. God created the earth in 6 days out of nothing by the word of his power. There's nothing in planet earth or in the whole universe that the hand of the Lord did not bring into being. Consider the sun. Every square yard of it radiates 130,000 horsepower of energy, the equivalent of 45 eight-cylinder engines. Yet it is only one. The sun is only one of 100 billion planets in the Milky Way. Glory is uniquely due to God. His greatness is seen in creation. But his greatness is also seen in preservation. In Colossians chapter 1, we are told, "By him all things consist." Colossians chapter 1, verse 17. "By him all things consist." That word "consist" has the thought of "by him all things hang or hold together." God upholds all things in the earth. The mockers found in this end time age, they speak the truth when they say in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4, "All things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." Yes, the Lord is upholding all things, preserving all things. You are a passenger on earth's ship that has been traveling faster than the speed of sound for thousands of years without once breaking down, blowing up, or spinning out of orbit. If one of those 100 billion planets in the Milky Way, if one of them moved just 2 degrees without divine permission, it would mean catastrophe for us all. God is great in creation, in preservation. The greatness of God is also seen in salvation. In the words of Titus chapter 2 and verse 13, the Lord is referred to as the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, the mystery of our natural condition is painted vividly in 2 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 14, where the Bible says we must needs die and are as water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any person, yet doth he devise means that his banished be not expelled from him. Oh, we were under the sentence of death. We were banished from the holy God, cut off by our sins. God has devised the means to span the gulf between us in our sin and himself in his justice and holiness. God has devised the means to bring us to himself, the means of the cross, of the substitute, of the bleeding lamb. The writer said, when I think that God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Glory, for all of these reasons, is uniquely due to God. But secondly, we can say that God is to be glorified not only uniquely, he is to be glorified exclusively. By nature, man is his own God. There is self-rule, self-love within man. Timothy was different. And in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 19, Paul says, I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. And he goes on in the next verse, verse 20, to speak of Timothy, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Timothy is not living self-centered. He has a heart of affection that goes out to these believers in Philippi. It comes naturally to him to care for them. But do you see in verse 21... what Paul has to say of mankind generally? Apart from Timothy, he says, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. Mankind lives for self. The Shorter Catechism sets out the divine purpose for us when it says so plainly and powerfully, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. God will not give his glory to another, nor his praise to graven images. Glory is uniquely his, and our lives must exclusively give glory to him. This is required of us all. Perhaps You join with us this morning in this house of worship, and your heart is not right with God. You're not a Christian. Though you do attend the services here faithfully, yet you have never been to the cross. I put it to you, how can you glorify God while setting at naught his so great salvation? In John chapter 6 and verse 29, we are taught that this is the work of God, that we believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the work that God has set before us, that we believe, that we put our trust for our soul's salvation in his only begotten Son. Oh, the scriptures are read and they are proclaimed so that faith will come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But you have not believed to the saving of your soul. Your rejection of Jesus Christ is so dishonoring to God, it is so displeasing to God, that the rock of salvation by you is just as the stone which the builders refuse. In the erection of those walls in ancient times, the builders had no place for a particular stone. It was set to the side. It was rejected. And so the Bible says, the Lord is as that stone which the builders have rejected. Has the Lord Jesus been set at naught by you? Oh, you will never glorify God while you refuse the offer of gospel mercy and grace. How shall you escape if you neglect so great salvation? How will you escape the wrath to come? Oh, today, seek the Lord. Call upon his name that you might be saved. And believer, this must be the great purpose of your life. This is your calling in Christ. It's spelt out for us again in Ephesians 1 in the words of verses 5 and 6. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Oh, here is the great purpose of our soul's salvation, that we should live to the praise of the glory of his grace. What wonderful, what matchless grace is that, that has taken us from the dunghill of sin and has set us among princes and made us inheritors of the throne of glory. A poverty-stricken lady, as she sat with her crust at the bank of the river from which she was about to drink, she was heard to say, "All this and Jesus Christ too." And every Christian should say, along with David, in Psalm 13 and verse 6, "The Lord hath dealt bountifully with me." The meaning is, the Lord has dealt richly with me. Oh, having received the riches of his grace, how we should bless the Lord, give the glory that is due to his name exclusively. And then, thirdly and lastly, we can say that God is to be glorified actively. There are many ways in which we can glorify God. It has been said that actions speak louder than words. And certainly today many people will not read the Bible. They do not take down the Word of God in their homes and read. But while that is the case, sadly, they will read the lives of every Christian. Moses was conscious of that as he took out the Egyptian who had been fighting with one of his brethren. In Exodus chapter 2 and verses 11 and 12, it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens. He not only saw their burdens, but the verse says, he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked, Moses looked this way and that way. And when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Moses, before he committed the deed, he looked in every direction. He was conscious of being watched. In Psalm 27 and verse 11, David has this to say, Psalm 27 and verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. And you will see in your margin against the phrase, mine enemies, you will see the rendering, those which observe me. Lead me in a plain path because of those which observe me. Yes, there are eyes that observe all our doings and all our ways. So we must glorify God by our exemplary lives. Here in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31, Paul says, wherefore, whether therefore ye eat or drink, what scope is opened up here by these words to fulfill the command? Even in our daily eating and drinking habits, we condemn those given to alcohol and the excesses that it brings. But we may be guilty of the very same thing in respect to our consumption of food. Verse 32, the verse says, give none offense. That word offense means to hit or smite. So Paul fears doing anything that will be a blow to his testimony and witness before others. Servants are given instructions in Titus chapter 3, chapter 2 and verse 10, servants are told there's to be no purloining, but they are to show all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. And the word adorn is an interesting one. It was used in ancient times in arranging jewels in a brooch, on a ring or crown. And those jewels would be arranged in such a way as best displayed the beauty of the gems. Attention would be attracted. There would be admiration drawn. And so we are to adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Titus is told in chapter 3 and verse 8, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men." That word good, it means honorable. These things are honorable, not only unto men, but unto God, and helpful to men. We think of what the Shunammite woman said to her husband as she observed Elisha going back to and fro past their dwelling place. She said, "I perceive that this is a holy man of God." Elisha, his every step and movement was being observed. And so the same is true with us. May our lives adorn the doctrine then of God our Savior. In Esther chapter 8 and verse 17, when the heathen saw the blessing enjoyed by the people of God, by Esther and Mordecai, the verse says, "Many of the people of the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them." The heathen saw how the providence of God wrought a wonderful deliverance. They saw the blessing of God in the lives of Esther and her people, and they joined in with them. They were persuaded to be of Israel. Oh, may our lives be gainsome. May our exemplary living glorify the Lord. We must glorify God too by our evangelistic labors. Here in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 33, Paul says of himself, "Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved." In all that Paul did, there was nothing of self, no selfish motive. His goal was to win others. Two men were walking along the beach one day when they saw a man in the distance throwing something into the sea. And the closer they got to him, they realized that the man was picking up starfish left on the sand by the outgoing tide. And he was throwing them back into the water. So they asked him, what was the point? For there must be thousands of starfish strewn, stranded all around. How will what you're doing make a difference? The man bent down and picked up another starfish and threw it into the water, saying, it will make a difference to that one. And we cannot win every soul, but we must attempt to win all that we can. Do you see here in verse 33 where Paul says that he sought the profit of many. He could not win all, but he sought many that they may be saved. It will make an eternal difference to each one that we win for the Lord. Let him know, James 5 and verse 20 says, let him know that he that converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save his soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Oh, may we seek the eternal profit of many. John 15 and verse 8 tells us, herein is our Father glorified, that we bear much fruit. May we glorify God by reaching others. May we cast our net in faith and draw it in with love, lifting up Christ before a dying world, magnifying the Lord and exalting his name together. Whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God.